Technology, it's such a big part of our lives. It can be fun, it can be convenient, just like this podcast, which is why University of Missouri Healthcare is proud to support podcasting on KBIA. Technology can also save your life. That's why so many people turn to University of Missouri Healthcare. Its hospitals and clinics offer you the latest technology, plus a medical team whose skill and knowledge are unparalleled. You know technology makes everyday life a lot better. Well, it's true for your healthcare, too. University of Missouri Healthcare, the care you deserve from the team you trust.
Hello, and welcome to Under the Microscope, KBIA's weekly look at stories in science, health, and technology. I'm Raymond Tungekar. Midwest farm country has long been productive. Farmers harvest acres and acres of grain. Ranchers raise hundreds of thousands of cattle. Now, the rolling plains are being tapped yet again. Houston-based Clean Line Energy Partners wants to produce wind energy on the plains. The company has plans to build 5 large-scale high-voltage transmission lines crisscrossing the interior of the country to harness the power of the prairie wind. But as Dury Buscarin reports for Harvest Public Media, would-be neighbors aren't necessarily sold on the project.
Standing on this farm in O'Brien County, Iowa, it's hard to imagine the converter station that would replace about 50 acres of Jay Hofflin's cornfields. If the project goes through, that's where wind power from turbines nearby will be fed into a direct current high-voltage power line that'll span 500 miles across the entire state. It's called the Rock Island Clean Line. Hofflin says it's an economic boon for O'Brien County.
I'm a fifth-generation farmer here, and one of the things that we've seen in our area is a decline in population.
The Rock Island Clean Line is a $2 billion project, and Hofflin's a big supporter of it. He kind of has to be. He's about to live next door.
This gives us a real opportunity for some investment in our county, hopefully for some additional jobs.
Not everyone in the line's path agrees. Not all landowners like the idea of a 120 to 200 foot tall transmission line going up on their property. The family who rents a home next to Hofflin's cornfield has been warned they'll probably have to move in a couple years. They politely declined an interview. Clean Line's regional manager, Beth Conley, says the project will increase the capacity of Iowa's wind energy industry because it creates a way to deliver electricity to states further east.
A number of those states have passed renewable portfolio standards that will require them to have so much of their energy from clean or from renewable sources by some as early as 2015.
Conley says eastern states don't have the capacity to create that wind locally. Iowa does.
Because there's not a lot of demand for energy up in northwest Iowa, and really not a lot of demand in Iowa that's not already being met.
Conley says Clean Line would pay $7,000 in county taxes per mile of line, 500 miles total. Some landowners are supportive. Many people in the area have already leased some of their land to other wind energy projects, like a 218-turbine field funded by MidAmerican Energy, slated for completion in 2015. But others aren't so keen. Future neighbors of the line have already begun organizing an opposition group. Here at a meeting of the newly formed Preservation of Rural Iowa Alliance, Director Carolyn Sheridan holds court. She says one of her major sticking points about the line is that it sends wind power out of the state.
We feel that a high-voltage transmission line that is coming across Iowa should indeed benefit Iowans for their electrical consumption. We also feel that we should be listened to, that we should be able to have a say in what happens to our property.
Sheridan says property owners need a voice here because utility projects like Clean Line can be granted approval by the Iowa Utilities Board to seek eminent domain, effectively forcing landowners to sell easements if certain criteria are met.
We want to make sure it's responsible. We are concerned about unintended consequences.
In Illinois, where the transmission line would end, more than 400 people have submitted comments or formal complaints to the state's utility regulator. The Illinois Farm Bureau formally opposed the project last year. Further south, a similar clean line project called the Grain Belt Express would stretch through Kansas, Missouri, and into Indiana. That project wouldn't be completed until 2018, but is already facing opposition from farmers as well. A spokesperson for Clean Line says they want all land acquisition to be voluntary. That's why they've begun negotiations long before their anticipated construction dates. But with a project scope that goes through 16 of Iowa's 99 counties, Clean Line has a lot of landowners to convince. Daryl Hawk, who farms in Primgar, has begun organizing O'Brien County farmers to negotiate with Clean Line.
There will be more projects in this county. this area is going to be covered with windmills.
Hawk is also a board member of the Iowa Renewable Fuels Association.
The meat we raise, the cattle, the hogs, the milk that's produced, it's not used in O'Brien County, or it's shipped someplace else where they need it. So what's the difference whether you do the same thing with electricity?
In the coming months, Clean Lines land agents will continue to work their way across Iowa, holding public meetings and asking landowners to negotiate easements. And as all five of Clean Lines transmission projects gain steam, it's a decision many rural residents across the Midwest and Great Plains will face. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Duri Buscarin.
Arborists and tree lovers from across Missouri joined together Tuesday to care for the famous Big Tree, just south of Columbia, a bur oak that's hundreds of years old and starting to show its age. KBIA's Kate Grumke has the story.
Arborists saw dead limbs out of the Big Tree as they helped care for the champion bur oak. The Big Tree is the most photographed tree in the state and is at least 300 years old. It is tied with a tree in Kentucky as the largest bur oak in the country. Chris Starbuck is a retired MU Plant Sciences professor. He lives nearby.
I drive past quite often on my way to town, and it's a rare thing to come by and not see somebody just staring at it and trying to grasp how big the thing is.
But the tree is starting to show its age. That is why arborist William Spradley decided to organize this day to work on the tree. Bradley owns what he describes as a tree healthcare business in St. Louis that does this kind of work, and first started coming to see the tree during college. In the last few years, Spradley noticed the tree was starting to decline.
I saw the canopy was dying back on this side, away from the road, pretty aggressively, and said, oh boy, somebody's going to have to do something about this.
In 2008, Spradley led a group of arborists to rehabilitate the tree. Back then, only his company was there to help on a similar one-day rehab project. This time, many organizations donated their time and money to help the tree.
It's really impressive how last time we came in 2008, it was overwhelming for us to do some of the treatments, but we paid for everything ourselves and donated it all. And this time, we are just a small part of this group today.
The tree specialists cut out dead limbs, aerated the ground to get oxygen to the roots, applied fungicide, and gave the tree a chemical that will help it fight insects and disease. The arborist also installed lightning rods to protect the tree during storms. Starbuck says he knows the tree will outlast him, and he hopes people do everything they can to keep it around.
Anything that we can do using current technology to keep it going another 50, 75, 100 years is going to be good for me. I won't be here then, but it's nice to think of that the tree will be.
Kate Grumke, KBIA News.
And that'll do it for this week's Under the Microscope. I'm Raymond Tungekar. Thanks for listening.